Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go. It's that time again. It's Berg and the Bullpen Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Alex Berg in San Francisco. Here's truly Mark Mancini out here in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, it's more him, less than me. Let me lay the threes to you, Alex. First of all, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, I can't believe we got a year in. It felt like yesterday you guys were in a bus going to the Yankee Stadium playing the Yankees' first game of the year, and here we are now, the day after the Dodgers leave town.
It's crazy how fast the season go. Like, it feels so long, and then it's this blitz, and then all of a sudden, like, you're packing up and it's all over. It's crazy, but I'm doing really well. Still in San Francisco, headed back tonight, and they can find me on Twitter, and that's AMBURG, the number one, and that's on Twitter.
Wow, when you look at this, first of all, I want to start out with a guy that passed away, and boy, you talk about a guy that passed away at a young age. I mean, heck, I'll be 62, and I feel good, you know, next month. Tim Wakefield passed away, aggressive brain cancer, 57 years old. And, I mean, I lost my dad at 51 of a heart attack. But, man, oh, man, the only thing you can think of on something like this is God has plans.
Yeah, I mean, it's so sad. That guy's a legend. Like, you talk about the guy that pitched 19 years in the big leagues throwing the ball 60 miles an hour. That's crazy to think about. So sad, but it's pretty cool to see George Kirby rip a knuckleball yesterday at 73 miles an hour. It was absolutely nasty, and I feel like he did it as a tribute to Wakefield, so very cool for him to do that, but very sad for baseball, losing not only a great pitcher, but a great human being.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yesterday, boy, you're seeing it right there. I mean, I saw the highlights of it with Brandon Crawford coming out and just soaking it all in. And, you know, we don't know where he's going, but, man, oh, man, another legend in San Francisco. And I hope he does come back.
Yeah, it was crazy, I think. I actually saw him. We were on the same team. He got called up from high A, so the previous season he'd been in Double A, got hurt in spring training, and was rehabbing with our San Jose team in High A. And he was kind of there for a while. They were just, you know, obviously proximity to San Francisco. They kept them close, and they had an injury in the big leagues, and he got called up straight from High A to the big leagues, and that was 2011. So, you know, this guy's been in the big leagues for parts of 13 years, and he was the everyday shortstop for 12 years. I mean, that's all-time record for games at shortstop, innings at shortstop. Like, this guy's played one inning of his major league career not at shortstop, and it's because he chose to pitch all for one team. I mean, things like that just don't happen. He's a legend. He did it right. Another great human being. He's got a whole clan of kids, and they're all wonderful. And, you know, it was a great tribute to see. And, you know, I hope he comes back. But at the same time, if he doesn't come back with the San Francisco Giants, I hope he walks away, because very few people can say they played for one organization, and even less can say they only played one position for one organization, especially one as prestigious as the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And for people that don't know, I think he is married to Garrett Cole's sister. I know they both came out of UCLA, but if I'm not mistaken, I think he married her, because I remember Cole with the – yeah.
I think it's the other way around.
Oh, it's the other way. Okay. Yeah. either way, they're connected too. And boy, another great human being, Garrett. I had a chance to interview him years ago. Great guy. And heck, he might even win the Cy Young the way he pitched this year in New York. So keeping it in the family. When you look back at this season, hey, it's all peaks and valleys, but you know what? A successful season in more ways than one. Look at, you know, the way I looked at it is you had two pitchers, you had a bunch of guys coming in and out to fulfill those other three slots in the rotation. But to me, I look at progress. I mean, it's hard to win, you know, and people, you know, might look at wins and losses, but I look at progress over regress. Any thought to that, Alex?
I agree. I think when you look at what we did on the pitching side, we were extremely good. I think FIP, all these stats that we really value over here, we were in the top five in all of them. And when you look at where baseball is going with the opener and people doing weird things with their rotation, with their pitching staff, I think you're going to see some teams go to a model similar to ours, and I'm sure fans won't like it, but it was extremely successful. Like, when you really look at the season, you have to cover innings, and you need as many quality innings as possible. And obviously we had Alex Cobb and Logan Webb, and when those guys are good, you just turn them loose. But for the rest of it, it was how can we get nine of the best quality innings and put each guy on our roster in the best position to succeed and see where you go from there. And I think, you know, obviously we would have much rather just had five starters, eight relievers,
right,
and just roll the whole year. But, you know, we didn't have that, and we got through, and we actually got far more than through. We had an extremely successful season. We put a bunch of guys in position to succeed, and a lot of guys had their best years. So, you know, I think that was a huge plus. Obviously, you hope to win a few more games, but, again, at the end of it, it's kind of, you can only do what you can do, and it was still a success for me. Anytime you finish the season, it's a success.
No doubt about it. And, you know, when you look at it, the silver lining in all this is, too, the Padres, Yankees, and Mets combined probably had $880 million payroll. We haven't even thrown the Angels in that thing. And look at what you guys did. So, I mean, even though the Padres finished a couple games ahead of you, it's still, in my mind, with all that money being spent, and, you know, it's progress. I mean, that's the way I look. I always try to, you know, in football, everybody says, you know, let's look at the quarterback, let's look at the running back, let's look at the wide receivers. I try to get in the trenches and figure out, okay, the offensive line, defensive line, that's where it's won. So when you look at what you just said, and basically from afar, you know, these guys spent a lot more money, but you got a lot better results.
Absolutely. And we got to play a bunch of our young guys. We got to kind of see where the future of the San Francisco Giants is. And you got to see some of the young talent we have. I mean, the young talent on the pitching side is real. Those kids are impressive. I think that's where you need to start building. You know, we got three kids that could be potential starters, and one or two of them could end up being frontline starters. And there's a lot of quality innings in our minor league system right now. And you look at some of these young position players, there's some excitement going on. Marco Luciano is exciting. The Tyler Fitzgerald kid's exciting. Like, some of these kids coming up are athletic. They can do some things. Casey Schmidt hit two home runs last night. He's kind of a wild card. He might be the best defender we have, but didn't swing it that well this year. But again, he's somebody who, you know, can make some noise if he gets hot and does it at the right time. So there's definitely some excitement to look forward to with the San Francisco Giants.
Well, not only that, you got a great catcher that's just, he replaced Posey, and, you know, it's tough to replace a legend, but he came in there and filled his shoes pretty darn good. And Sean Manea had a great year, I mean, considering coming from San Diego. So there's a lot of great things. You know, we'll find out where this thing heads into with him and some of these, you know, guys. But I just like the makeup of the San Francisco Giants moving forward into 2024.
It's funny, I forget Pat Bailey's a rookie.
Yeah. You
kind of, you get around him, and he just carries himself like a veteran, I think.
Yeah.
He did such a great job for us defensively. He ran out of gas a little bit, which is pretty expected of every rookie, but yeah, like you just would never know that that kid hadn't been in the big leagues before this year. I mean, the way he carried himself, like I said, I forgot to mention, he's our best rookie. He played the most, and but he doesn't feel like a rookie. Every day he comes out, the way he works, the way he does all these things, like, again, you would never guess that that guy is a rookie. He's been extremely impressive, and, I mean, the sky's the limit for that kid.
Yeah. Now, when you look at it, one of the teams I had in there is out, the Mariners, but I still got the Jays in the American League, and I'm going to hold on to my cards with the Brewers and the Phillies in this thing. But that Brewer D-back thing is going to be a wild one, and that Marlins-Philly, even though the Marlins have gone pretty much from Miami to New York, rain delays, Pittsburgh, now they're back in the Philly. They've shown me that they can play with the Phillies, but man, oh man, that Philly atmosphere, and you saw it up close this year, that could be a hell of horrors for 4 hours. I don't know where you lie on this one, but I'm going to hang my horses on two of them, the Brewers and the Phillies, to battle it out in the National League with the Jays in the American League.
I'm with you with Philly. I think, you know, Miami's pitching's kind of banged up right now, and anytime you don't have Sandy Alcantara pitching for you, it's bad. You know, I mean, that guy's so nasty. But, I mean, Philly can really swing it. I mean, obviously, they won the World Series. And, they were in the World Series last year. So you're looking at a team that's seasoned. Philly's crazy. I mean, I'm sure that place is going to be rocking and rolling. Milwaukee and Arizona. I'm going to go Arizona. Corbin Carroll's a really good friend of mine. And, you know, I think he's going to be the rookie of the year. I think that's a really tough matchup. I mean, those three starters are absolutely miserable to face, but because he's my friend, I'm gonna go to Arizona, and hopefully they can pull it out.
Well, and not only that, as we wind this thing down, either one of those teams I think could take the Dodgers out. I just don't think the Dodgers have enough pitching to hold off Arizona or Milwaukee, and especially Arizona playing them as much, Milwaukee with the horses. I think either one will take the Dodgers out. The other one could be interesting. I know last year Philly, rolled the Braves, but this is interesting. So, and then the other side of the coin, I've always liked the Jays over there. I like the young influx of guys, but man, oh man, it's going to be interesting with Baltimore and Dusty Baker and his team.
Yeah, I mean, that AL East is crazy right now. I mean, I love Baltimore. I love watching them play. Tampa's so scary. I mean, that pitching staff is absurd. They can do everything, hit a bunch of homers, athletes all over the place, and then I'm with you with the Jays. Like, they're so fun to watch. You see Bo Bichette making plays, doing crazy stuff. Kevin Kiermaier's an absolute dynamite out center field. Varsho's the same. I mean, they're running around doing crazy stuff, and then they might have the most athletic team in the big leagues right now. And
yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, as we wind, no doubt about it. I mean, and you saw them this year too. The off season, my friend. I know you're going to be heading back home. What's it look like? Just probably plenty of rest and relaxation and. Then before you know it, here we go again after Christmas. The season starts again.
Yeah, it'll be good. Get back with my girlfriend, hang out, play some golf, and then, you know, maybe a couple weeks into it, start working through. I do a little bit of baseball stuff, the guys that are local in Dallas, and then just to keep the skills sharp, but pretty much what you're talking about. A lot of rest and relaxation, trying to enjoy the off season and get ready for another long year next year.
Well, I will contact you in a couple weeks, give you some time to relax and everything. I love doing this with you. I can't wait to do it again. next year. I just love it tremendously. You and I, man, the bond and the chemistry, and along with the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's just, man, just having you two teams being a part of this is just awesome. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as well as we wind it down.
They can find me on Twitter, and that's AMBURG, the number one, and that's on Twitter.
He's Alex Berg in San Francisco. Yours truly, Mark Mancini. Thanks for listening this year. We'll kick it again up next year. I mean, you guys have really made this a great show for him and I, and we're just so blessed to do this. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rolling by Mancini Media. Thanks for tuning in. Alex, I love you. Prayers on a safe trip. We'll touch bases in a couple weeks.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great year, and this is such a great year. I had a ton of fun doing this.
I love you, brother, and we'll get some more involved next year with it, too, no doubt about it.